please pray for us. So, free indeed. Free indeed. Once again, the term, and I use this as the example before, when you hear somebody's free, and the example I used before is somebody breaking out of jail. Let's say they broke out of jail. They're free. Unfortunately, they're going to have to look over their shoulders. Certain things they're not going to be able to do. They're always on the run. So they're just free. They're free out of that jail. Okay? But the person who did their time, and they're set free, and they have nothing else attached to them, and nothing else they have to do, they're free indeed. Do you understand? They can go get a job, do whatever they need to, and so on and so forth. And the cops drive past, and it's no big deal, because they already did their time. So the difference between a lot of people down here is majority are not free, but they think they are. They're that first person. They, you know, even when we sing that song, Proud to be an American, because at least I know I'm free, we're not. You understand that, okay? And that's what's struggling when we, sometimes in the country, we call this the free world. We're not. Unless you're in Christ, you are not free. And if you don't know that, you'll continue to be in bondage. So we got a chance to go through this, and we got to see different forms of bondage and how we are in bondage. And where we were under, we're under the process of how Christ released us from bondage and how we stay free. And where we last left off is we started enslaved by us serving us. Y'all see that? Everybody know where that's at? It's Titus 3. It's under, now we must receive what Christ has done for us in order. Am I right or am I wrong? Do I need to go back further? Wrong group? Huh? Wasn't here. Are we all still thinking about the cookie? Got the wrong lesson.
Oh, so second page.
Second page.
Jump to the bottom. We start from the bottom.
Okay, so we're right. We are right. Deacon Sean, please take names. Write these people down. Okay, thank you. Okay. All right. So it says we started enslaved by us serving us. Okay? As it says in Titus 3:3-7, it says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Now, stop right there, because if you notice, this is him talking to Christians. Okay, Paul is inspired to talk to Christians and Titus. And he's saying, you used to be like the world that was, and he says, one time who were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of what? Passions and pleasures. Where do passions and pleasures come from? Us. If I don't like it, and if I don't enjoy it, you can't entice me with it, correct? So it gets us by getting us. Right, I told you I don't like coconut, so if you brought in a coconut cream pie and said, I'll give you the coconut cream, I'm like, no, I don't want it. I'd be fine. Cherry cobbler, not the one with the granolas up top. You know, I like the real, it looks like a pie. I just kind of give you, if you want to, okay, never mind. But you understand that. But you see how that works. That was a hint, okay? But, all right, so now, Marvin says she needs butter. But you understand, so it says enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And that's the problem. The key word is enslaved by. Enslaved by these passions and pleasures. That's when I allow me to get me. And as Sister Lisa was asking earlier, that's what's happening today. We have so much access that we basically can get anything we want. Not only through the luxuries that we have, but getting there. I mean, look at even something as simple as Amazon. I was saying the other day, the reason why I went to one store and they didn't have what I wanted, I went to Amazon and they had it. So now I have a place that has it when I want it anytime. That's dangerous. Y'all get that? Back in the day, when they were in the desert and they had a camel, they didn't even know if the store was there. You get where I'm coming from? I mean, seriously, and I'm not being funny. It's funny, but it's the fact of they're going out there looking for some of these things, and they're you know, we have access to stuff and an abundance, and that's killing us, and we are allowing ourselves to be enslaved by it because we can. He goes on to say, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God and our Savior appeared, He saved us. So not only did He save us from the effects of sin, He saved us from the bondage of it. Problem is, we keep going back. We keep allowing it to enslave us. It's like we're doing like the Israelites doing. We want to go back to Egypt. You understand that? It goes on. It says He saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. It's saying He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. This is where relationship is so important. The more I grow in God's word, the more I grow in his spirit, the more I'm cleansed. I don't know if y'all remember the one verse in the Gospels where he told the disciples, you are clean now because you have read, because you have obeyed the word. Okay, and that's, the more we grow in the word, the more it's purifying us and cleansing us. Okay, he's saying, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. It should change our whole outlook, our whole focus, our whole everything. The flesh still exists. That's why the desires and the pleasures still exist. But now there's a choice. Either I'm going to serve him or I'm going to serve me. And that's the key. And the bondage of us is what the world is still in. Because the world is just still trying to serve. That's why, you know, pearls of swine. If I really took this Bible, when I went out to the world and I explained Christ to them, they'll go, what? Because remember, another term to describe a Christian is selflessness. Right? So I'm going to the world and telling them less of you. And they're looking at me like, have you lost your mind? I'm trying to get more. That's where the prosperity ministries was pulling people in, because in that same way, it was kind of grabbing people. It kind of caught me off guard. But you understand that. So in the same way, we have to make sure that we are not still enslaved by us. You're going to still have those desires. And this is why we get verses like, I beat my body to make it my slave. Take your thoughts captive. And then he does good stuff to us, like what? Put us through trials. Kind of pure joy when you go through trials of any kind. Endure hardship as discipline. Why is all this stuff? All this stuff is to save us from us. But unfortunately, we go through those situations in which we are still trying to have our cake and eat it too. We want the full access of pleasing self and being called a Christian. Yes? Wait. She did it real fast. Could you give me a pattern of reading? Should we do something? No take back. Yeah?
Give me another term for
body, somewhere
for washing or rebirth.
First, bathing and. What do you mean? I'm lost on. What do you, so you want to know more understanding what it means?
Yes.
Okay. So before Christ, we were dirty. We were corrupt. We were corrupt. Okay. Think of it that way. We were corrupt, and not only were we corrupt, we were mature in our corruptness. Does that make sense? So that's why when you get saved, you're born again. So the word cleanses you of that corruption. Because remember, corruption makes me keep doing the wrong thing. So the corruption of the world, the corruption of me, the corruption of our, Adam, his nature in us. So all that stuff corrupted us, and it kept coming back to bite us and stuff like that. And then the maturity in that. So what the rebirth is, being born again, that's why I renew my mind. I don't try to refresh my mind or redo my mind. I renew my mind because I want a brand new mind. And you're born again because you're starting over. And so he cleanses all that. That's why he's saying, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because he had to die in order for that to happen, in order for us to receive the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to purify us. But that's why you hear the term pure. Because if you don't use the complete word, you won't be completely clean. If you took a baby who's dirty, and I don't know why a baby's dirty, well, just work with me, but if you have a dirty baby and you take him and put him in a tub, but there's mud in that tub, but there's also soap and water, what do you get clean? And that's what we're doing, you know what I mean? Just because there's soap and water doesn't mean it'll be clean. That's what happens. Some people use the word with stuff added to it that's impure. So you're really not cleansed. This cleanses us from our corruption and our maturity in corruption. Did that help? Okay, thanks. Because I couldn't think of anything else. I was like, praise God. Okay, so we got that. So having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So then our whole hope and our whole focus changes. Right now, if you ask people for hope and focuses, it'll be in relationships, it'll be in career, it'll be in happiness, it'll be in worldly peace, it'll be in stuff, right? You don't hear people go, I'm just waiting for Jesus to return. Sometimes people say it because they know that's what they're supposed to say. But they're going, if I'm being honest, that's not what I feel. And that's why I keep stressing to you, what you feel is not what you are. Please understand that. What you feel is telling you where you're at. So be careful. That's the big difference. Satan made us think what you feel is what you are. Have you ever said sorry to somebody and you said, I don't think I meant it because I didn't feel it? No, that's just showing you where your flesh is at and showing you how dangerous your flesh is. That's all that is. Okay? So it just makes you put your guard up against you because of how dangerous it is. So keep remember that your flesh doesn't tell you, the feelings don't tell you where you want, where you need to go. The flesh is telling you where you're at, and that's where I have to kind of get my focus and go. You see what would happen if I didn't have Christ? Does everybody understand that? Okay, that's why it's so important for me to not go with the feelings. Feelings are dangerous. Take your thoughts captive. When he says take them captive, what does he say do with them? No. We do something. We demolish something else.
Make them obedient.
Make them obedient to Christ. We demolish any pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So anything from the outside that tries to come in and go against Christ, immediately I destroy it. But then the stuff that comes tries to come out of me and make me go, well, I really want that. The minute it's not in line with Christ, I'm going, nope, we don't want that. Do you understand that? Okay, everybody get that? Okay, so it's that same way. We have to have that same mentality. Now, God's word guides us to freedom in our choices in life. Okay, shows us in Romans 6:11-14, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, right now, he empowered us, but it's still a choice. That's why he says, count yourself as. Okay, count yourself as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is therefore, do not let. Everybody say, do not let. Now, you see, that's a command, but it's still a choice. Y'all get that? Okay. It's something you can't say, I can't help it. That's what Satan wants you to believe. No, it's I didn't help it. Okay. So when he says, do not let what? Sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. That's your choice. So now, if I engage in the world, this will happen. If I embrace the world, this will happen. Sin will reign in my body, right? Because I'm going to get enticed by it and I'm feeding the flesh. When I'm in the word, I'm feeding the spirit. So it depends on what you're feeding. Y'all get that? Okay, it depends on what you're feeding. More. Okay, when he says, do not love the world or anything of the world, he's not saying that to restrict you. He's saying that to protect you. But we keep doing it. And he even gives the other verse saying, friendship with the world is an enemy to God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God. So understand that he's letting you know that what the world gives you is a very dangerous thing. Because the world caters to you in the flesh. So he's saying, do not let it reign in you. He's saying, do not offer. Everybody say, do not offer. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin. Do you understand that? It says, as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Now, here's the difference in that. Because we know some of the basic things, like sex outside of marriage. We know murder. We know stealing. We know stuff like that. We know that's wrong. So, I mean, that's hands down. But what if the basic thing, like I said, if I do something... For instance, something as basic as love my family. But if I love my family based on the world's way of loving my family, that's still wicked. Did y'all know that? Does everybody understand that? That's very important. There are certain things we're doing down here that we got deceived because of what it is, not realizing it's based on why it is. Where am I getting at? I'm getting that from where it says, let's go to Galatians. Galatians 6, verse 7. While we're turning there, Marv, you have a question? Oh, no, you're just trying to get him back to Mike. Is he ignoring you? I'm sorry. All right, Galatians 6, verse 7. And he starts off with, and remember, as y'all turn in there, he starts off with, do not be deceived, because deception is what?
Choice.
Keep that in mind. I want y'all to understand it, because Satan has gotten to our mind, when I don't understand, we can play the victim. Oh, I didn't understand. Instead of, no, I'm not understanding, so I better understand. You know what I mean? Deception is something that I choose to do. When I don't understand something, I pursue it. Okay? Doesn't mean you understand everything quickly. It just means I have access to understanding, so go after it. You understand that? When he says, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. That right there, circle that in your Bibles if you want to. You can't do an electronic Bible. But God cannot be mocked is letting you know that you think you're getting away with something. And that's what a lot of people know what they're doing, and they're thinking, well, but God's going to, and God doesn't play like that. And then he explains the crux of the whole entire thing of how it works. He's saying, a man reaps what he sows. Now, we stop there. People say, okay, so whatever I do, I get. Then he goes into it, and I've explained this to y'all before. In verse 8, he says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature. Did y'all catch that? So the emphasis is not on what he sows, it's on why he sows. Did y'all catch that? Everybody not get that? Okay, I got to make sure y'all get that. That's what he says. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So he's giving you, it's not the what, because the why will dictate what. Does that make sense? So then, if I raise my family to please me, I'm still as wicked as a person who's abusing my family, believe it or not. Headed to the exact same place and probably destroying my family and going to hell. Y'all get this? And the group that he uses as a perfect example was the Sadducees, Pharisees. You went back then, people were following them. These are the religious people people look at and go, that's who I want to be. And he was like, you guys, you got to understand, they're all going to hell. And they're going to a deeper part of hell. Why? Because they were doing it for them, not for God. Make sense? Our purpose has to be so that when it's based on God, I'm going to his word and I'm following his word based on him. Y'all see the difference? So how I love my family, based on the word, not based on me. The outcome, based on what God says, not based on me. Amen? So I don't do something because it feels good. I do stuff because he says so. Amen? Everybody caught that? Okay, hopefully this is, you know, sinking in. All right. So when he says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. So that's that choice. When I do it, make sure the things I'm living for, that I'm doing it for, are godly. Somebody should be able to go to you and pick every part of your life and go, why did you do that? And you go, well, because the Bible said. And you should be able to go. You can't do that. You give me some emotional, cultural, intellectual, or ignorant answer, you're no different than a person who's doing wicked. Does everybody get that? Okay? Very important. So he says, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. And it says very clearly, for sin shall not be your masters, because you are not under law, but under grace. Everybody get that? Right? Okay. Anybody not understand that one? All right. Praise God. Now, God's word even guides us concerning freedom based on freedoms we have. Okay? His word guides us on the freedoms we have. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 35, it says, I would like you to be free from concern. He's basically saying some of the things we do, and remember I told you when we read 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, what did it say? It says, good for a man not to get married. This is the reason why. He's saying, because you're going to have concerns. And he's saying, I'm trying to get you to be free from concerns. Some of the things we do down here come with concerns that you are now responsible. You have children, that's a concern, but you're responsible. Y'all get them? We want the happiness of stuff, but not the baggage that comes with it. He's letting you know, oh, it's going to come with it. You get married, he made this 1 Corinthians 7. Every person before they get married should read it and understand it. So when they get married, that's why even when I counsel, I can't ever use that as an excuse. When they go, well, I didn't buy into this, I just look at them. I'm sorry, it comes with it. You knew it came with it. Well, not really. I didn't, you know. And I understand people say that, especially in the world today. We only speak of, and it's going to be happiness, and it's going to be great. And not realizing, no, he's saying it's going to come with concerns. He says, I would like you to be free from concerns. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are what? Divided. Did y'all get that? Or divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. It says, but a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. Do you see what he's saying? But to restrict you, but that you might live a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, he is saying a married couple can do it, but this is going to be the battle. And I'm still responsible for it. Do y'all get that? It will not and cannot be an excuse. We know the first married couple tried to make an excuse. Y'all remember that? What'd they do? They ate the fruit doing what they say. It was their fault, exactly. Did y'all catch that? It's the woman you gave me. You know what I mean? And she blamed the serpent. You know what I mean? We're getting blamed thrown on every place. And they're blaming. Instead of recognizing, no. And he punished each because, no, you played your part. And even though me and my wife are one, we still have an individual role as one. Just like the church is one body. You understand that? We all still play an individual role in this. But with my wife coming together, it's a blessing because we can work together. But there is still a lot of working against. certain things I'm going to think of that's going to go against her, and I'm going to be concerned about how she's going to be mad, and she's going to be upset about how I'm going to think of all that stuff now plays along with how to serve God. Did y'all catch that? Okay? And that becomes the problem. But he's showing us in our freedom. It seems like, go ahead and have your freedoms, but you are responsible with the baggage that comes with it. Everybody understand that? Amen? Marv has a face. What's the matter, Marv? Huh? Exactly. Serve God. Everything you do has to be to serve God. Marva asked, why get married if people didn't hear? So, but that's the case. So that, no, that's what he's saying in the beginning. It's not a bad thing. And if people did it right and they understood it, like with anything, you would say to serve the Lord. You would go into it with the mindset to serve the Lord. Nobody does that. And that's why he said when it got to that point, he was like, marriage represents something. And it's good for a man not to do it because everybody's been doing it for the wrong reason. For self. You ask anybody, including in the church, why are you in a relationship with marriage? Because I want to be happy. Because I'm lonely. Because I'm... And then when they meet each other, why do you like the person? Because he or she makes me. Y'all notice that? Not, I think we can. And it's rare. And if they and if they fully understood what that means about we can, they would be friends for years before they would even date. Now we give people that advice and they look at me like, I got 12 heads. And I get it because it's crazy. You're like... Friends for what? You know what I mean? I say like 2 years, friends. Before you even start the courting. Alright? And that's unheard of today. Nobody does that. But what you do is you get to know them as a person, and then you realize we're here to serve God. You would know in those 2 years after a while, we can just be friends, but I ain't going no further than that. You understand? You would know that. But unfortunately, when people rush into it, you know, it gets deeper than that. I just gave a marriage counseling there for free, so if y'all... Need it. Does everybody get that? What's the matter, Mark? Give her the mic.
How did you come away 2 years? I mean, from.
Oh, that's just my. That's just my take. Yeah, that's not out the Bible. That one is mine, and I think I'm being generous. I think so. To be honest with you, just where our minds are. Because you go through a honeymoon period, 6 months where you're still trying to impress them. Do you know what I mean? And then after that 6 months, then you go through a time of getting to know them. And then you end that, how would that work with you the other 6 months? So I had a kind of my own little equation, but that's all. That's why I say at least 2 years, I kind of threw that in there. So good question, Marva. Thank you for asking that. So, all right. Huh? Yes, it's an IQ stick. I said, not the Lord. Exactly. Praise God. All right. Now, we have to stay free from the love of money. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. It says, keep your life free from the love of money. It says, and be content with what you have. Worldly contentment is a place to be. Godly contentment is wherever you're at. Do y'all see the difference there? Because usually when somebody says, I just want to be content, in their mind they're like, if I just had this much money and I lived in this place and my health was here and I had these people and I had, then I'd be content. That's not the content he's talking about. That's a worldly content. That's wrong. All right? Because it's based on your situation. All right? And I can promise you, and the reason I can promise you, because it comes from the Word, it says we can never be satisfied. You'll reach that point, and then you'll go, no, I want more. No matter what, you will. I want more. You understand it? However, godly contentment is no matter where you're at. That's why one thing that you people should hear is, wherever you're at right now, act like this is going to be that way for the rest of your life. Now what? Not, well, until God gives me this, then I'm going to do this. See, contentment is stop right where you're at. What if this is it? It's going to stay this way. Serve God exactly where you're at. Does that make sense? No more, but if he gives me this or he takes away this, that's content. That's true content. That's why he's saying keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. It says, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So a lot of us think, because of my situation, if I had more money, my problems would be solved. Not realizing we have the one thing we need with us. He said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. So when you're going through it, immediately you go, there's a reason why he's putting me through this, for me to trust in him. I bet you today, the most closest to Christ, however it may be, still trust in their money more than they trust in Christ. Y'all get that? And we don't like to say it because we're in a society today that that plays a big part. I hate to say it. And God will do something to make that being taken away. And then we sit there and then we're upset. And God's like, so did they take me away? What just happened? Wait. Oh, you were trusting in it. Amen. Didn't I say I'll never leave you for sin? You see how that works? Right? We get a new job or situations change or you lose a job or situation. You know what I mean? We take it and we go, okay, God, I'm going to make do with what you're giving me. Yes.
That's so true, what you said about us trusting in our money. Because in education, one of our directors said if a new governor gets in, there's a chance that we might not be there because we're a grant.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was, where am I going to find a job at my age? But then my second thought was, he will provide no matter what, he always has.
Amen.
It said that my first thought was...
But it's normal. We're in a society... And that's why when you embrace the world, you embrace the way the world thinks. When you embrace God, you'll just be like, okay, what's he going to do next? I'm excited. You know what I mean? Worried about getting a job. He got Sari pregnant at 90. You know where I'm coming from. Elizabeth, you know, pregnant also. You understand that. He did some wonders that we don't. And he's saying, I'm there. So what's the. And sometimes to shake us up, he will. He'll go, I'm going to have this taken away to see who you really trust in. And that's important. When we live content, we're just going to live that way. Doesn't mean, now please don't do this, because some people go, he just took this away and something better is going to come. Because unfortunately, your definition of better is always more, flesh-wise, right? Doesn't mean that. It means, watch what I do with the little you have, sometimes. Y'all get where I'm coming from, okay? Trust in me. Grow in me. Depend on me. Alright, but we truly show our trust in God through our tests and stuff like that. But too many times we try to set up for the perfect, get everything just right, and in 2008 the market crashed. Why are you doing this, God? Because you were too depending on that too much. Right? Amen? Okay? So it's something we have to keep in mind. Okay? He tells us this clearly. And also, in our freedom, we must represent God to a world in bondage. Okay, we must represent God to a world in bondage. 1 Peter 2, 16 through 17. It says, live as free men. Now stop there for a minute. Like I told you, in this country, we like to act like we're free. Christians, just that example I showed. If you're, let's say your company's going under and you have to leave, and they see you at peace, that's you living as a free man. When you start seeing people stressed out because of their job, stressed out because of their relationship or lack thereof, stressed out because of their health, they're in bondage. Y'all catch that? Okay, he's saying live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Don't live in a way because I'm a child of God. I'm going to do what I want and so on and so forth. No, he's saying no. As represent him. Show him in your situation. Show them your joy when they're going through the same thing you're going through. But they're seeing his joy. Why? Because I'm trusting in God. When they see you act just like them, they're like, well, I don't want their God. They're not doing them any good. So why would I want them? Right? Remember, our lives are a ministry. So a lot of times he puts you through something to minister, not for you to go tell somebody, look at me, just so they're watching. You'd be surprised when somebody watched you go through those changes. And when you are dependent, why are you at peace? I'll be fine. Does that make sense? You know, you'd be like, I'll be fine. And I get it. Even in the situation we're in, the hospital bought us and a whole bunch of people are coming in, and you see people almost stepping on people to impress other people just in case when this other hospital comes in, it kicks other people out. Do you understand? And I, even after praying with it, because I see that, I step back as they're stepping. Sometimes I'll even let them step into that spot that probably was supposed to be mine. You know what I mean? I'll do my job. And it's kind of like, I'm not going to step on anybody. And I'm here to just do my job. And if God removes me from here, amen. God keeps me in here. Amen. Do y'all get this? And I have to say that to myself. I have to stay in the Word to do that. If not, I'll be like, oh, why did he do this? And how come I didn't get credit? And how come? You understand that? You'll see the problem. Be careful of that. This is the world's way of doing things. We'll read this last one. And I know we only have a little bit, but I'll read a little bit. We'll read the end of it, God willing, next week. But we'll do this last one. Do not mistake worldly slavery with real slavery. Okay? Wait, let me finish up this last one. As servants of God, in verse 17, show proper respect for everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. So in verse 17, it's even showing, so just even in my actions, when it's saying show proper respect for everyone, don't change, like I said, because the person you voted in, you don't change on them. Yes, you still show the same respect. If they are the king, you show the same respect. It's like he says, honor the king. If they're the president, You can dislike them or whatever, but you still got to show them as that respect. You know what I mean? Love the brotherhood. In other words, love the church. Show the love as an action to the church. And it's just saying, still live in a way that you're always showing this no matter the times, no matter what changes. You're still showing this. That's a ministry and it's honoring God. Does that make sense? Okay. We're going to stop on, do not mistake worldly slavery with real slavery. Okay, so remember I told you, the ones who are in this, we're going to do this one. So in 1 Corinthians 7, 20 through 24, it says each one should remain in the situation which he was in when he was called. Now we're going to do this again next week. I just wanted to kind of do it, go over it so you kind of think about it, and then we'll come back and we'll do it again next week. It says, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Now what you know, hopefully what you noticed here, because he says, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. He's saying your situation is not what you are. Okay. It's what you are in him is what you are. Remember I said only if I'm, when I'm in the word, I'm free indeed. Even when in the world's case, the world thinks that I'm enslaved. If I let my situation define me, I'm truly enslaved because this world is in bondage. Do you understand that? Even when the world makes me think I'm free. So there were people who were born and died slaves in the Lord. God was like, oh yeah, I made them that way, purposely. There are certain people that are born and they're going to die poor. Some people are born, they're going to die rich. Some are like, well, can I be rich? Once again, remember I said, you're responsible. Now, when you hear me say, which one would you want to be, poor or rich? Most of us usually pick rich, right? And but now, a person who's Christ-minded would hear, wait a minute, he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go through the kingdom of heaven. I don't know, maybe I want to be poor. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Okay? Because your focus is, you mean this one, I have a better chance of being pulled away from Christ. Yeah. I know sometimes we look at those people, how come I can't have what they have? Don't be so jealous. They're held responsible, and if it pulls them away, it pulled them away. They allowed them to, okay? But he's letting you know, don't let your situation define you. Let your relationship with Christ. But that's why he says, don't let it trouble you. I shouldn't be living for it. I should be living for him. So when I'm in that situation, this is tough today. This is very hard. It's something that is hard because our focus is so messed up. But when I realize that you'll get in a situation, okay, God, now what do you want me to do? You're focused on, okay, what's my next step, God? Not, I can't take this. Why am I in this situation? Y'all catch that? You got to get this. Okay. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. Y'all see the difference? So if you were outside of slavery, he was like, but now you're in bondage. Certain things you can't do that everybody outside is doing in order to serve me. And that's true freedom, being Christ's slave. Get it? He's saying you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. That includes you. Okay. As brothers, each as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to. Responsible to God. That's what we're missing, being responsible. Responsible means this. Whatever he puts you in, he's going to call you back. That's that talent. Remember the whole, you know, parable we read on the talent is, okay, I put you there. What did you do with what I did, what I put you? And the only way you serve, I'm telling you right now, no matter what situation you put you in, he gave you everything you need to grow and do what you were supposed to in that situation. By sight, I'll panic in situations that I don't desire. By faith, I'll thrive in any situation. Y'all catch that? Amen? Any questions? All right. So we'll, God willing, finish the rest of this next week and start a new one next week as well. Let's pray.